This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, April 8, 2023. The Easter Vigil, by Father William Doc Holliday.
In the end of the Sabbath, when it became dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We've all heard the term, the moral of the story. We usually hear that and think, well, it means the meaning of the story. If it was the meaning of the story, it would be the meaning of the story. It would be the moral of the story. The moral of the story is the moral instruction that we receive from it. Temporal stories may or may not have a moral. The scripture lessons all have a moral to the story. They all have a moral. They all teach us a moral lesson. They teach us moral lessons. They teach us historical lessons. They teach us mystical lessons, spiritual lessons. The scriptures are replete with lessons. Every single thing that we read in there, we can parse and figure out how and in what manner. And sometimes there are more than one moral. Sometimes there are a few morals. There are a few mystical, spiritual lessons. Today, the resurrection. What is the moral of the story? What is the moral lesson? The moral lesson is one of many, but first and foremost, that Jesus Christ reveals himself and imparts his graces on those who seek him. You have to seek him for him to show himself to you. This sort of universalist theory, he treats everybody every way. You can tell from this story that he does not treat everybody the same way, like the Roman soldiers who are scared to death and fall down on the ground as if they're dead. But the angel looks at the women and said, "You fear not." They should fear the crucifiers of our Lord. They should fear. You should not. So God doesn't treat everybody the same way. He pours his graces out and reveals himself if you seek him. You know, you have to go out of your way. This is a primary lesson that we get from the resurrection. You see the resurrection. You see these women, the women, his apostles, all the manly men. Where are they? They're hiding for fear of the Jews, fear of the Romans. They're hiding out. The women, they come back to see the sepulcher. They seek him. What is seeking him? Oh, reading a couple books, Seeking him means seeking him by doing a couple things. First is penance. Penance, turning away from the way things were. A lot of people, repentance. Repentance does not mean I'm sorry for something. Repentance means to turn away from the way things were to something new. That's penance. We must do that to seek our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to want to seek him for a reason. A reason that being, if you don't know him, you don't get into heaven. That's what he teaches us. So there's got to be penance. There's got to be prayer. And it's got to be directed toward Jesus Christ. Not just praying to this, that, or the other thing. Praying through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything you ask in my name, I will give it to you. This is the truth of the matter. It's a moral lesson. And then there's charity. Why were the women there? Just to gawk at the sepulcher, just to cry some more because they were sorrowful? No. They brought all kinds of things to anoint our Lord's body. They didn't care that the Romans were hanging out there. They did not care. Okay? They didn't want to do a service for our Lord, even when he was dead in their eyes. They didn't know anything about the resurrection aside from his words about it. It never even proved to them. They didn't know until they got there. Those things that we must do to seek him, prayer, penance, charity. You know, it's not enough. You get that. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Oh, like that. Well, I'm a good person. You go to Mass on Sunday? No. Okay. Let's revisit what good is. I pray to the big man upstairs. What's that? What's the big man upstairs? It's God Almighty, through whom all things hold together and all things exist. The one who spoke and all things leapt into existence. He's not the big man upstairs. This childish kind of view of things. You got to seek him. You got to understand who he is, that he's not the big man upstairs. And the charity that we do to people, the things that we do good for people, there has to be, St. Thomas Aquinas said, there has to be a positive ends toward the means. There are a lot of people on the face of this planet who give billions, count them with a B, billions of dollars to this charity, that charity, that charity, and they're godless heathens. And they're not going to heaven unless they repent and come to Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the reality of things. This is what we have to understand. That is seeking him. You need to seek him. Then he reveals himself to us. The Holy Spirit will draw you and nudge you in that direction, but you got to do your part. You got to do your part. That's the moral lesson. There's also a spiritual lesson. Little things, new little nuances that we read from Scripture. Like when the, you know, that first verse, when the women came to the, it describes when it was, the spiritual lesson here, the mystical lesson. When it began to dawn, okay, it was early in the morning, let's move on. No, let's hang out and look at, well, what does it mean? The beginning of the dawn. We can only come to Jesus Christ, as I said before about this penance thing, we can only come to him when we have left the darkness of our vices. Does that mean you don't sin anymore? No, it doesn't. It means you're sorry for it. I don't mean just, I'm sorry, as in that vague definition of repentance. I know it offends God, and I'm going to try my utmost not to do it because there are dire consequences to offending an eternal God, like not worshiping him when he demands to be worshiped. This is the spiritual lesson. We can only come to Jesus Christ if we have left the darkness. This is why we get these little nuances here. When it began to dawn, notice it doesn't say the light switch kicked on. Like you come to church one time and then all of a sudden you're holy and you don't have to worry about anything. We got to have a long talk if you're not worried about things. You notice all the prayers, and there were several of them before during the readings today. All of them were potential that the Lord may give us his inheritance that he brought, that we may, all these potential marks, not taking it for granted or presuming upon it. We have to, as the picture of it began to dawn, understand that darkness in a spiritual matter is transformed into light. Mortality is transformed into immortality, hence the resurrection. These spiritual truths are manifest to us in reality. In reality, Jesus Christ's resurrection is a historical fact, a historical undeniable fact. He appeared after he rose to hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, I don't believe he did because I didn't see it myself. Okay, do you not believe in George Washington because you didn't ever see him yourself? Well, everybody knows that's true. Everybody knows Jesus Christ raised from the dead too. This is just a reality. People can deny it, but he's not going to prove anything to you anymore. He proved it by his resurrection. What more can he do? He overcame death. So he plays out these moral lessons and these spiritual lessons in reality. Tonight, we're going to have several folks be administered the sacraments of initiation through the reality of these rituals that we do. Oh, it's just a church ritual. They do this, and they, you know, dress up and actually pour water on people and say some words and put oil and all this kind of stuff. It's not just that. That is, particularly when you talk about the sacraments, that is something that is a moral and a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality because they work ex opere operato. That means that when you're baptized, you don't wash it off. You don't deny it. Okay, you come here, you baptize. You know, well, I was baptized an infant. You weren't confirmed when you were an infant. These things have an indelible mark on us. They don't go away. You can deny your faith all you want 10, 12 years down the road, 15 years down the road. And guess what? God still views you as a baptized Christian, and he will treat you like that at the judgment. I love when I meet people out and about, and I go, oh, Father, you know, I used to be a Catholic. I said, you still are? Oh, no, I haven't been to Mass for you. You still are. You're just a bad one. Okay? It's a reality because they've been administered the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. They're indelible. We can't wash them off. Well, I changed. God didn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's just a reality. We have to come to grips with that. So these folks I know have prayerfully considered this. I've sat and talked with them about that. When the rituals happen and this reality occurs to people, because again, it's a spiritual reality, then it's a moral reality that they have to live. That's their part of the bargain. God doesn't hold a holy gun to your head and make you do what he wants. He tells you what he wants you to do, and if you do it, you're blessed. If you don't, you're cursed. And when I say cursed, that doesn't mean God spanks you or throws lightning bolts down from heaven, although he hasn't been known to do that. But the curse is, okay, you want to live your life your own way? Go ahead. Go ahead and see what happens. And I'm a prime example of that. I know how bad I wrecked my life and wrecked other people's lives for decades. And you come to grips with that, it's like, wow, I messed up bad. I'm not running this well. I'll let somebody else do it for a while. This is a good thing. There's an objective reality to Catholic truth. All religions are truth. They're all social constructs. You learn it from your parents. Kind of interesting, particularly in some of the folks that are going to be baptized and confirmed this evening. It's really interesting. You learn it from your parents. There are a few cases, not to get any details, but I'm sure they would be more than willing to share with you, that parents were actually brought into the Catholic Church by their kids. The Holy Spirit led their kids into the Catholic Church. Their parents are like, what the heck? You're a Catholic? And all of a sudden, now, they're here. They're all different walks of life over there, all different kind of, some people from this religious group, from that religious group, from no religious group. You see what the Holy Spirit does? You got some middle school students over there, and you got some folks over there who, let us just say, are a little bit past being middle school students. This is the Holy Spirit. It's how he works. That's the reality of faith. It's not a social construct. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in an individual who embraces the faith and obedience. This is the reality of our faith. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.